So how many people would be hearing the word of God if it was just up to the pastors? Or if it was just up to the deacons? Or somebody else other than us? You can see in that video, if that were the case, only a couple would have heard. But because the others that heard the word from the pastor then went out and spread the word amongst everybody else that they came into contact with, you can see how that grew and multiplied. And so that's kind of what we're talking about today. We're talking about advancing the gospel of Christ and the reasons that we should be advancing the Christ. And then also, how can we discover joy in that? It's a joyous thing. Think about something that you find interesting or that brings you happiness in life. Let's talk about sports for a second. Who here has a favorite football team? Do you guys ever talk about your football team to other people? If they're winning, right? Yeah, if they're winning, you're talking about them, you're bragging about them, you're excited about it, you're wanting to share what's going on. If they're losing, you might still be talking about them, but in a different way. But you're still excited to share that with somebody for some reason or the other. Well, if that's just a football team, how much more excited should we be to share the gospel of Christ? Because I love football, but man, it does not compare to Jesus Christ. And so there should be no comparison. But unfortunately, we get wrapped up in society. We get wrapped up in things of this world, and instead we're just out there talking about normal everyday things instead of talking about the gospel, which really means more and should mean more than anything else. So today we're going to be talking about that. We're going to talk about how to do it and why to do it, and then how can we discover joy in proclaiming the gospel. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read the verses one more time for you, and then we'll get started. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only what in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that I rejoice. Yes, I rejoice. And so if you think about this, we're going to talk about why Paul was in prison. Why was he there? And what happened to him to put him in this situation? So I want to take you back to 1999. So April 20th, 1999, at Columbine High School in Littleton, Colorado, two young teenage boys entered the school that morning with a plan to kill as many students as they could. The teenage boys made elaborate plans and details of how they would execute their fellow students and teachers. They went throughout the classrooms and hallways while wreaking havoc on anyone that they could find. In the end, they would take the lives of 12 people while injuring another 23 before taking their own lives. This was one of the first mass shootings to ever occur on school property, and it sent shockwaves throughout the region. Sometime after the event, a story began emerging about one of the victims. One of the students encountered by the murderers that morning was asked, "Do you believe in God?" After a little bit of a hesitation, the student answered yes and was then executed. And so having children in school right now, that kind of rocks your world a little bit to think about that tragedy. And I don't know the background. I researched some of the background of the students that day and found some stories and some data. But put yourself in that student's shoes for just 1 minute. That student had a choice. When asked, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" she could have said no. And she might have been saved. She might have been spared death. But she said yes. Knowing full well the likely consequence of her faith. Likely consequence of her standing up for her faith. But she chose in that moment to profess the gospel of Christ. And so we are all called to profess the gospel of Christ. We can, however, choose to do so, or we can stand on the sidelines and assume that somebody else is going to do that. Assume that we're not good enough, or we're not skilled enough, or we don't know enough, or we don't have to worry about that. That's somebody else's job. Or we can answer the call that God has put before us. And we can do so without fear. So the text today describes Paul's imprisonment, but it also shows his boldness and determination to profess the gospel of Christ, regardless of the circumstance. So the question, why should we profess the gospel of Christ? Is it important that we do this, and why should we do this? The simple answer is that so everyone can experience the joy of Christ through his enduring love. Look at verses 12 and 13. It says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ." And so why was Paul in prison at this point? Well, he was in Rome, and he was out professing the word of God, and they had told him not to do so, but he chose to continue to do it. This is Cliff Notes version, okay? But that's basically what is going on. And so they throw him into prison. And they didn't just throw him in prison. They actually put him in the imperial guard. That is like in the center of the palace and jail. That is in the very, very middle. And it wasn't just regular guards that were over him. These are the imperial guards. These are like top-notch guards, okay? They were very highly trained, highly disciplined, and they would guard the serious offenders or the ones that they really wanted to pay special attention to. And so he is thrown into the center of this, and he is guarded by the imperial guards. But if you notice through the context of the scriptures, he is saying now that he had a decision to make. He knows where he is, and he didn't sit on the sidelines and cry about it. He didn't complain, "Well, look at my situation. Woe is me. I'll just fade in the background and don't worry about me." What did he do instead? He decided to profess the word of God. Well, who did he profess the word of God to? He didn't have many cellmates. So he started talking to the imperial guards. He talked to them. Anybody that he would encounter, he would share the word of God with. And so Paul was determined to profess the gospel to Christ to everyone that he encountered, regardless of the situation, regardless of their beliefs. Those imperial guards more than likely were not Christians. They more than likely stood on the side of, "You are not supposed to be out there preaching the word." He didn't care. He went ahead and did it anyway. Could he have faced serious consequences for this? Yeah. He was just thrown in prison for doing the exact same thing that he is now doing in prison. So what, they could like double punish him? Yeah, potentially. They could kill him. But he didn't care. He was determined to do so anyway. So this takes me back to a time about almost 5 years ago. So when Cooper... I guess I owe you $5 now. I mentioned his name. I stopped doing that. So when Cooper was about 6 years old, he had recently just got saved and just got baptized. And we baptized him here at the church. It was a great, great day. Shortly after that, a couple weeks after that, we're out running around town, And we go over to Walmart on South Side. And we go in and we do our stuff and we're coming back out. And if you know, there's a Burger King at the stoplight. Well, oftentimes people like to stand on that little curb island and have a sign saying, you know, please give me some money or please give me anything, you know, much appreciated type of thing. And so whenever we're leaving, Cooper saw that and said, instead of money, we need to tell him about Jesus. Huh. Son of a gun. I'd never thought about that in that context. Let's be honest, most of us in our current situations, whenever we're driving there, we're driving somewhere else, and we see somebody out with a sign. A lot of times, that's not our first thought. Our first thought is, well, if I give them money, they're going to use it for alcohol or something bad. Or if I, you know, we actually got them food and brought food to them one time, and they said, oh, I don't want your food, I just want money. That's a true statement, too. And so it's that mentality that kind of, unfortunately, hardens our heart against that a little bit. But Cooper, being just recently saved, still had that joy in his life and saw it from Christ's view. He saw it from God's view. God's view is, regardless of your situation, regardless of your status, regardless of where you are, profess the gospel. To everyone, not just our friends, not just the ones that are easy targets that we think they might receive the word of God, to everyone. And so it makes me wonder, how often do we look at the rest of this world through the world's view instead of Christ's view? And how different our world would be if we looked at every situation the way that God would have looked at it, just like the guy standing on the corner. So Paul, in our text, was not looking at his situation from a worldly view standpoint. He was looking at his current situation from the view of God. You were given an opportunity here. He was placed in prison. Make the best of it. Tell people about God. That's the Christ view of it. So why is it important to advance the gospel of Christ? Why should we be doing this? So let's look at Matthew. If you have your book, if you have your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. A lot of people know this set of scriptures. It says, Now the eleven disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. If you have your Bible and you're following along, if you have a piece of, or not a piece of paper, a pen or writing utensil, circle that word commanded. I have commanded you. Highlight it, star it, asterisk, whatever. And think about the word commanded. So in our times, we think of commands as laws, right? They're kind of like a law. So let's imagine this is like a speed limit sign. It says right out here, you get on Route 50, speed limit is 65. That is the law. That is a commandment. And so I'm sure whenever we leave here today, every single person, including my wife, we'll be following the law that says do not go above 65 miles an hour, right? Wrong. I bet you hardly any of us will. And so maybe that's not a good example. All right, so let's think of a different thing. It is a law, so let's think of the law of not to murder somebody, right? If you murder somebody, you're going to go to jail for a very long time. If you get caught. So maybe that's not a good example either. So what term can we use to equate that commandment to today's time? Well, the context of the word is more in the eyes of something that occurs automatically. It's more like breathing. On normal days, do you have to think about breathing? No. You're sitting right here right now, thanking God that you're breathing. It's happening naturally, right? Automatically. Well, professing the word of God in the sense of the commandment form should be something that happens automatically, that we don't have to struggle for, that we don't have to fight for, that it's not a challenge to not do it, that we just automatically do it. And we actually go out in the world and we look for opportunities to share the word of God, not opportunities to get away from that person because I know they're going to ask me about Christ. It's the other way around. It happens automatically. And then in the form of the word itself, commandment, back in those times, commandments were like real, like legit. If you didn't get it, off with your head. There were real consequences for this. And so we read this text and we think, yeah, I got you, man. I understand. We're supposed to tell everybody about the word of God. We're supposed to make disciples. Yes, amen, hallelujah. And we never do anything about it. Because we think somebody else is going to. We think somebody else will carry that torch. Somebody else will share the gospel with them. Folks, that somebody else is you. It's me. It's everybody. We are all called to share the word of God. And so we must know the gospel of Christ in order to advance the gospel of Christ. I was actually talking about this last night on the way home. We went down to Charleston to watch Disney on Ice. Watch the little princesses out skating on ice. My daughter loves that. Don't you? Yeah. Cooper and I went to Cabela's. But they had a great time watching the princesses on ice. And it was great for them. So we were driving on the way back, and my mom went with me. With us. And we got on the subject of different types of Bibles and passages and stuff like that. And she was reading in a version of the Bible that was really trying to apply the word to our everyday lives, right? Not just reading the word of God and then saying, okay, that sounds great. But it was actually trying to take it a step further. And every verse it was relating of how you can share that and how you can implement that into your life today. And so I asked her, or I said, you know, that's a great thing. All Bibles, we need to be doing that. And as Christians, we should honor that. But what makes the difference between us and an atheist? Because a lot of atheists know the Bible very well. A lot of them might know it better than I do, better than you do. But what's the difference? The difference is applying the Word of God. We as Christians should be applying the Word of God. If we don't, unfortunately, on that context, we're no different than the atheist. Actually, I'd argue that we're worse off because we know better. And we're choosing not to do it. And so we must know the Word of God. We must know the gospel of Christ. In order to advance the gospel of Christ, we've got to know what we're talking about. We can't just say, believe in Jesus. I don't know anything about the dude, but here he's a swell guy. We need to know the word of God. We need to read and study the word of God. So we are called to advance the gospel without fear. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14, he says, And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And so they were empowered by seeing that their leader, Paul, who was thrown in jail for advancing the word of God, didn't quit. They felt empowered by the fact that he chose to continue spreading the word of God. And it gave them confidence to do so. And then Paul says that we should be doing this without fear. We should never be doing this in fear. We should be doing it without fear. Paul knew the real possibility of death for essentially preaching the gospel, but still believed enough and followed through in God's commandment to do it in the Romans prison. He knew the consequences, but he chose to do it. He could have decided to take a step back and let somebody else do it. Oh, well, the next generation, they'll do it. No. Paul made the decision to follow Christ and to do it without fear. Look at Acts chapter 28, verse 31. It says, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So be bold about sharing the word of God without anything hindering, without anything holding you back, is the way that we should be sharing the word of God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6 says, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. Look at that. I will not fear. It's not up for debate on the situation. That's a statement of fact. The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? So I'll give you another example of fear. Actually, Facebook's kind of cool in a way because it'll give you memories of things that have happened in the past. And so I got a memory thingy on Facebook about me standing up here for the very first time. Woo! Talk about fear. I remember it vividly. I was in the hallway back to the education wing. And it was after Sunday morning service, and I was walking, and I passed Jason in the service, in the hallway. And he stopped me for a minute. He goes, you know, I've been praying about this for a little bit. You need to preach. What? What are you smoking? Are you crazy? Me? I mean, my heart rate just went through the roof. My throat sunk down into my tummy. I was gasping for air. I almost passed out. I was not feeling very good. And so I did the Baptist thing that everybody does. I said, well, brother, I'll pray about it. Right? Which is a way to buy me a little bit of time. Brother, I'll pray about it. Well, I actually did. And daggone it, I got the same answer that Jason did. So I said, okay. Well, I had never in my life spoken in such a way in front of so many people. Through business and things like that, I'd spoken to some crowds before, but nothing like this. And I had been leading in youth for quite a while, for a long time, and I had gotten used to speaking in front of the youth. But coming in here and standing in front of adults with this many was, quite frankly, it was a nightmare. I mean, it was something that I did not feel that I would ever be able to do. And so we went through the process, and I was doing some studying with Jason, and we get up here that day, and I can remember being down close to the front, and all that morning, my heart rate, I thought, was like 200 beats a minute. I mean, it was just, if you looked at my chest, you could have seen my heart beating through my shirt. I mean, it was just, it was bad. It was really, really, really bad. Until I stepped up on stage. And I felt a sense of comfort that I had never felt like that quick. Was I still nervous? Yeah, absolutely. But was I in fear of that moment? No, I wasn't. And it's amazing how God will give you that sense of peace and will take the fear away from you if you decide to follow him. He's got you, right? He's just waiting for you to rely on him instead of relying on yourself. He's just waiting for that. And then if you fully do, if you trust this man, if you invest in him and truly believe and truly trust in him, he will take your fear away and there's nothing that man can do to you. Paul was in the same situation. It must have been a very difficult situation. And I would probably argue that most of us, if we were thrown into prison for preaching the word or for spreading the word of God, a lot of us would probably back down a little bit in prison. You know, we might share it with our cellmate, maybe. But Paul did so much more than that. He shared it to everybody that he met. And as a result of that, those imperial guards started to believe in Christ. They started to know the scriptures. Then word got out from the prison to everybody else, and they heard that Paul was still doing this. And what did that do? It spurred them to feel encouraged to do this. It motivated them to do this because, well, if Paul's doing this in prison, then by golly, I can do this. And so just like that video that we saw this morning, the contagion, it just spread because people decided to obey Scripture. They decided to follow Christ. As Christians, we have the power of Christ inside of us. As soon as we accept Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit now living inside of us. We have God in us. All we have to do is rely on Him. The same power that gave Christ the courage and the strength to die on the cross lives inside of us today. That's an awesome power, an awesome strength that cannot be overcome. And through that, we can face any challenge. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so do not fear. I've talked about this with the youth students several times. How do you share your faith? And a lot of them will say, well, I'm scared to. I don't know the words to say. I don't have mass amount of scriptures memorized. I don't know where to start. Well, the easy thing about it is, if you can share how God changed your life, if you can share that to somebody, God will do the rest. Just tell them about what God did for you. Tell them about how He changed your life. God will do the rest. He'll give you the words to say. We just need to step through that first doorway and follow His command. And so profess the gospel with the correct motives. Look at the ending of these passages. There's a little twist at the end of it. Look at verses 15 through 18. "Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from good." Preach Christ from envy and rivalry. And so some were envious and jealous of Paul's success. He was having great success as a preacher. Some of the other people chose to preach also because they were jealous of the success that Paul was having. And so that's what that was referring to. "But others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment." So they were either mocking him or they were jealous of him and wanted some of that fame and glory for themselves. But look what Paul says to that. "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." So if you have your pens or pencils with you, circle that word, "I rejoice." Yes, and I will rejoice. And so Paul didn't really care. He's telling us to preach the word of God with the correct motives because that is important. But at the same time, he also says, in a way, I really don't care. As long as the word of God is preached and proclaimed, I find joy in that. I will rejoice, and our Heavenly Father will rejoice. Paul is wanting us and warning us to have the right motives, but at the same time, he finds joy in the result of our preaching, of our spreading the word. Luke chapter 15, verse 10 says, "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Circle that word again, joy. There is joy over one sinner who repents. And so it brings God joy to see his message spread to others. And it brings God joy to see people turn to Christ. It brings God joy to see us actively spreading the word of God and being obedient. John chapter 15, verse 19 continues, and it says, "If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." The point of this is that it's not our point of view. Remember earlier in the conversation I was talking about, Cooper for a moment had a Christ-like view. He wasn't thinking of the world view, right? Well, we as Christians are not supposed to be of this world. We are of God because God now lives inside of us. Now, we're from this world. We can't help that. That's where we are. But we're supposed to be of Christ, in Christ. And if Christ is in us, then we should be looking at everything in the rest of this world through the view and through the lens of Christ, seeking out every opportunity to share the word of God, regardless of the consequence, regardless of the situation, regardless if we're not confident, regardless if we have fear, regardless if we just don't feel like it. We're called to do so. So the point is, our perspective should be a godly perspective. We should be focused on the things of Christ and allow Christ to live inside of us and give us that joy. And so finding joy in spreading the gospel. Paul was thrown into prison basically in hopes of silencing him. They were trying to mute him. Enough of that, no more. So they threw him in prison to try to deter him from doing it. But because Paul was faithful and trusted in God, God spun that around. And he goes, "Ha, you just gave Paul another opportunity to share the word of God to your Roman soldiers. Take that." And so now the imperial guards are following after Paul and learning about Christ. Paul was determined to spread the gospel. And then it gave him joy, regardless of the motives of why people outside of the prison were preaching the word of God. It gave Paul joy because he knew that the word of God was growing. He knew that the family of God was growing. Whenever there's a wedding coming up in your family, Does the family have joy about that situation? Yes, it should be like one of the happiest occasions, right? Because you're gaining a family member, two families are joining it together, and going to have a new life, new hope, right? Everybody agree? In theory. And so we should be having that same type of joy when the kingdom of God grows. Whenever the family of God grows, we should have joy. Whenever we baptize somebody here, it's classic every single time. We don't have to lead you guys in this. I've been up there and been able to watch. Every time we baptize somebody, the smiles on your faces light up this room. And then immediately, without cue, you guys start clapping. I mean, nobody's up here telling you, "Okay, now time to clap." There's no applause lights up here. Why is that? It brings you joy, right? This is just a symbolic representation of salvation, but it brings you joy to know that the kingdom of God is growing. And so we too can find joy in proclaiming the word of God. We can find joy in advancing the gospel of Christ. Is it challenging sometimes? Yes. Are there going to be times when you feel afraid before you start? Yes, absolutely. But God overcomes every fear. Are there going to be times when you just don't feel like it? Yes. Are there going to be times you don't want to? Yes. Does any of that matter? No. Proclaim the word of God. Advance the word of God. And if you do, God will be faithful and he will bring you joy. He will take those fears away. He will give you the words to speak. Don't wait. Don't wait for the preacher or for the deacon or for the Sunday school leader to share the gospel of Christ. We need to take it upon ourselves to do that. We need to realize that we have an active role in this thing called Christianity. You know, God wants to spread the word of God. Well, how does he plan to do this? He plans to do it through you. Every single one of you. You are his tool. He plans to use you to spread the word of God. And so there may be some of us here today that have never spread the word of God. Maybe you've never shared it with anybody. Maybe you have been afraid. Maybe you just are avoiding it. Whatever the reason may be, today is a new day. God has equipped every single one of us with the ability to share the word of God. And it is our duty as Christians, it is as followers of Christ, to obey and share. If we look at the statistics, the numbers tell a different story. The numbers say that Christianity in the United States is shrinking every year. Does that mean that God has abandoned us? That God has left? That God is not doing his thing? No, it doesn't. God will always be there. But what it probably implies is that we're not doing our part. We need to use a phrase that was developed here a little while ago. We need to get out amongst them and share the word of God. We need the church to be the same church on Sunday as it is on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and any other day that ends in Y. Who you are in here in these walls as a Christian needs to be the same person out there. God has placed you in your workplace, wherever you are in life. He has placed you there for a reason. He has given you the opportunity to share the word of God. I guarantee you there's somebody that you know in your everyday life that does not know Christ. And that is an opportunity for you. So don't wait. As we get ready for our time of invitation this morning, I want to just remind you and challenge you that God wants to use you. Salvation is a great thing, and we celebrate it, and we should celebrate it. We celebrate baptism, which is a great thing, and we should be doing that. But that is just the beginning of our walk with Christ. That's just the beginning. It's not the end. Doesn't mean we've reached salvation, we're good now, and we can just put it on cruise. That's just the beginning of our walk with Christ. So I challenge every single one of us, no matter if we are new believers or if we are seasoned veterans in Christianity, we can all share the word of God to somebody. I challenge you to do so. Bow with me as we pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I again just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning to learn about you, to read in your word. Lord, it's very, very clear that we are called to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. We're not called to just receive salvation and this wonderful gift that you've given us and then hold it inside. We're called to share it with everybody. Lord, I ask that you would just give us the boldness, give us the strength and the encouragement to be faithful followers. Lord, I know that if we are faithful in doing this, that you will take every fear away. You will take every obstacle away. And then your work will be seen. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We just ask you to reach into every single one of our hearts and our lives. Just fill us with your glory and with your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
You all will stand. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Good morning, I'm Eric, I'm your deacon on call this week. Before I pray for the offering, David Post from the Pastor Search Committee is going to come and give us an update.
Heard any good rumors? I think trying to keep the secret from some of you all is like hiding candy from a five-year-old. You'll go to any extreme to find it. But that's good, because that means you're excited and anxious, and so is the Pastor Search Committee. So in case you didn't know, we went on a road trip last weekend. We interviewed a pastor and his wife for 4.5 hours or more. Stayed over, listened to him preach next day. And then Wednesday evening after Bible study, we discussed the event. And we agreed 100% that this is the man God led us to. So, we couldn't wait to call him, so we called him that evening. Because we was kind of afraid after meeting us, he might have changed his mind. But he didn't. We was really shocked. He didn't change his mind. He was excited also. So the next step is to, we've scheduled him and his wife to come up, look at the area, show him around the church, show him the job, and if he's still interested, then we will bring him back with his family, and then we will introduce him to you. You all will get to meet him, hear him preach, and then we'll hold a business meeting, and then we will decide if this is the man God wants. So, should have been looking at my notes, shouldn't I? if you remember back in the beginning, we asked that you would pray 1 minute a day for us. And you all did. You did such a good job that I'm going to ask you to pray 2 minutes a day now. Continue to pray 1 minute every time you see this sticker for our church. And I ask you to pray 1 minute for this man and his church. Because should he be the one that God leads us to, I'm telling you, there's going to be a church that is very sad. And they will go through the same process and grieving that we did. So If you don't have a sticker, I've got plenty. We'll put it where you will see it. So, that's where we're at. Be excited. Be praying. So, as always, I'll end us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you have shown us over the past year. We thank you for the trials that you gave us, trials that grew our faith stronger, and trials that showed that you are a loving God. Dear Lord, we ask that you would continue to guide us on this path that we are. And should he be the man, dear Lord, I just pray that we would support and love him, welcome him into our church. But I lift his church up to you as well, dear Lord. And I pray that their pastor search committee will look at this trial that they will go through as a blessing, and that their faith will grow stronger in you. Dear Lord, I thank you for this church. Thank you for what it stands for. And it's all these things I ask in your name. Amen.
Thanks, Dave. All right, let's go ahead and pray for the offering. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we just thank you. Lord, we just thank you for the pastor search committee. Lord, thank you for the faithfulness and the dedication that those individuals have put forth on our behalf to seek your will for this church. Lord, just thank you for leading them this past week. And Lord, just we just pray for that person. Lord, we pray for their family. We pray for their church. Lord, we continue to pray for our church. Lord, just make this a joyous time for all. And Lord, now as we prepare to bring forth our offering, Lord, just bless the offering that we may use it to glorify you and to just grow your kingdom. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Here he comes to save the day.
Whatever I'm doing. Hey, let's appreciate the kids up here and what they did this morning. Amen. If you look at Jason's church, it's amazing. They're doing Youth Sunday today, too. Huh, I wonder where he got that idea from. Anyway, appreciate these guys and Wesley and him leading this. And, of course, everybody that's up here. I really appreciate all that they do in supporting our worship during this time. So, anyway, don't forget short meeting with the volunteers from the for the Sportsman's Banquet. Be in prayer for the weather this week. I don't know if you guys are looking, but there's a possibility of a storm coming up Thursday that could put a little wrinkle in things. So just pray that God makes it all rain and gets rid of the ice and snow. All right? So anyway, thank you all for being here with us. They're going to sing out, and next week, Steve Chapman will be here with us.